He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Here in the UK, badly behaved children might discover that on Christmas morning, Father Christmas has left them lumps of coal or raw potatoes instead of toys and sweets. But in some other parts of Europe, the punishment for misbehaving is a whole lot worse. St. Nicholas still brings presents for the good children, but naughty kids should, frankly, be terrified. Legend says that they're in for a visit from St. Nick's less friendly companion, the Krampus. I'm Rowan Molyneux, and you're listening to Oddity, the podcast about all things strange and unexplained. The word Krampus is widely believed to have come from Krampen, an old High German word for claw, or perhaps the differently spelt Bavarian word Krampen, referring to something withered or lifeless. This folkloric character is an imposing figure covered in dark hair, with horns jutting out of his forehead and a red pointed tongue lolling out from between his sharp fangs. He strides around on cloven hooves, or sometimes one cloven hoof and one human foot. I feel that there's something particularly scary about this latter version. Krampus wears heavy chains and sometimes bells, and carries a thick bundle of birch branches. He uses these to thrash naughty children as a punishment for their bad behaviour throughout the year. If the children have done anything particularly evil, he might even scoop them up and shove them into the basket strapped on his back, or a sack which he carries over his shoulder. Krampus will either take them down to burn in the fires of hell, drown them, or eat them. The threat of beatings, kidnap, murder, and eternal torment. Possibly slightly more of a deterrent than just getting a lump of coal in your stocking. Krampus as we know him today may have sprung from old folklore concerning boisterous winter spirits. Some Austrian people point to Krampus having a pagan origin, which the Christian religion may have attempted to erase by pairing him up with St. Nicholas in the 17th century. Of course, with his horns and cloven feet, Krampus shares some key features with the common representation of Christianity's devil. It's been argued that what this actually means is that he looks like a far older horned god or nature spirit, imagery which was co-opted and literally demonised by the Christian religion. The role of Krampus as the companion of St. Nicholas may be linked to traditional Nicholas plays, in which a troupe of costumed locals would go from house to house performing short comedic presentations of saintly legends, particularly those featuring St. Nicholas. Nicholas plays had developed as a later form of winter revels where young men would dress up as troublesome folkloric spirits, rampaging round the village at night and demanding food or drink in return from them symbolically blessing the house. Or perhaps just not wreaking havoc upon it. Sounds a bit like trick-or-treating, doesn't it? These visits would often involve songs or rhyming verses being performed, and later, under church influence, came to include religious stories. Nicholas plays, sometimes performed in a communal place like the village square, or more often in private homes, would often involve children being questioned as to how they had behaved that year. During this, troop members in terrifying devil costumes would be called forth to underline what happens to bad little boys and girls. These devils seem to have borne more than a passing resemblance to the folkloric winter spirits which used to visit the house, not bound to any saint. In subsequent years, the name Krampus became attached to these characters. So Krampus became the companion of St. Nicholas in a sort of mini, seasonal representation of heaven and hell. Krampusnacht, or Krampus Night, falls on the 5th of December, the night before the Feast of St. Nicholas. On this night, children are introduced to the concept of divine retribution. If you act in a virtuous manner, you'll be rewarded by a saintly paternal figure. If you're bad, you'll be punished by a terrifying demon. When Krampus shows up with St. Nicholas, he likes to be offered a glass of schnapps, a strong distilled fruit brandy. As with the traditional glass of sherry for Father Christmas over here, it's always a good idea to offer folkloric beings a drink when they come in out of the cold. Your thoughtfulness and hospitality might help keep you on the nice list. Plus, it's probably easier to outrun a vengeful Krampus if he's a bit tiddly. An article from 1958 states that, according to Southeast Austrian folklore, Krampus would bring families miniature gold-painted bundles of the birch branches he'd used to beat people. Families would hang these little bundles on the walls to serve as a warning and threat to the children of the house. Sort of like a year-round elf on the shelf, but a bit more violent. Greeting cards featuring Krampus have been popular in some parts of Europe since the 1800s. On most cards, he's terrorising kids or taking them away in his basket, but in some, he's cavorting with attractive women, who seem to be pretty happy about their choice of companion. These days, Krampus runs are popular in many Alpine towns. Originally, Krampus troops would only appear on the streets in the process of travelling from house to house, sometimes aiming a few good-humoured thwacks at people who passed within range of their birch branches. But as villages and towns grew bigger, the traditional house calls became impractical, and public parades began to spring up. Krampusnacht itself is on the 5th of December, but Krampus runs can be held from mid-November to mid-December. Some of the biggest events feature hundreds of costumed Krampus and winter spirits called Perchten. Adults and teenagers in the crowd might get smacked by a bundle of sticks or a horsehair whip as the parade passes, and Krampus performers often gravitate towards women with long hair, playfully messing it up. They're a bit more gentle with kids in the crowd. Despite Krampus's fearful reputation, they're more likely to shake a child's hand than shove it in a basket. In the Austrian town of Lienz, the lead-up to the 2015 traditional Krampus run was a bit different than usual. Some refugee families from Syria and Afghanistan were now living in the area, and the other residents of Lienz were worried that the sight of horned hairy beasts rampaging through the streets might confuse or unnerve their new neighbours, who may not have heard of the tradition before. So before the parade, the children of those families were invited to come and take a look at the costumes and the props, learning about the Krampus run, so when they witnessed it happening they wouldn't be intimidated by it. The costume Krampus performers wear is usually made of a fursuit, horns, a demonic mask, and a pair of hooves. Traditional costumes are often made of sheep or goat skins, with real animal horns, and hand-carved masks. But less expensive ones are made with faux fur and latex masks. One elaborately designed costume can cost up to 2,500 euros, and the mask alone can weigh up to 10 kilograms or 22 pounds. In different Christmas traditions, St. Nicholas is said to have companions other than Krampus. One such companion is Knecht Ruprecht, which roughly translates as Servant Rupert, a man with a long beard wearing fur or pea straw. Carrying his bag of ashes, Servant Rupert visits homes on Christmas Eve and asks the children of the house if they know their prayers. If they do, great, he rewards them with nuts, apples, and gingerbread. If they don't, they're in trouble, and Servant Rupert beats them with his bag of ashes. Another popular companion is Belsnickel. Belsnickel, made famous by Dwight from The Office, is a sinister man clad all in fur, often wearing a mask with a long tongue. He delivers shoes or socks full of sweets to children who have behaved well that year. In the 1800s, a report from the American state of Maryland told of a particularly weird Christmas tradition. A man dressed as Belsnickel would visit the house, scattering cake, nuts and fruits on the floor for the excited children. While the kids were scrambling to pick up the treats, he would hit them with a long hazel switch, warning them to be good in the following year. Krampus has travelled across the seas recently, turning up on TV shows such as Venture Brothers, Grimm, Supernatural and American Dad. There's also at least one Krampus-inspired horror movie. And in an increasing number of American cities, you can get into the terrifying holiday spirit yourself by going to a Krampus party, a Krampus costume contest, or even in cities like LA, San Francisco, and Chicago, Krampus runs. But America isn't getting all of the fun. In Whitby, this year marked the third annual Krampus run. Winding through the streets of this beautiful seaside town a few days before Krampusnacht, Whitby's Krampus run happened on Saturday, the 2nd of December. And included a charity collection for Whitby Wildlife Sanctuary. I'm planning on going up there for the 2018 run. Hopefully I'll see some of you there. This episode marks the end of the first season of Oddity, and the last episode of 2017, but we'll be back at the start of January with Season 2. I'm really looking forward to this next season, which will feature more local legends, weird phenomena, unsolved mysteries, and a couple of topics requested by you guys. Thank you for listening to Oddity, and an extra big thank you for all of your support this year. If there are any topics you'd especially like to hear about in Season 2, let me know by tweeting at OddityPodcast on Twitter or emailing odditypod@gmail.com. Have a wonderful December and a great new year. Join me, Rowan Molyneux, in 2018 for another journey into the strange and unexplained.